Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Jennifer Walters and Kristen Seymour from Fit Bottomed Girls. Now, many of you listening might already know about this incredible site. These gals have been, they've been part of the Fitfluential Network, but they are a network and a community and a site of their own that are, they just have incredible stuff online. They've got a Fit Bottom Girls podcast that's out that is incredible. And I'm just so excited to and honored to have them on the show. And we had a fantastic interview. Again, we ended up talking about something that, gosh, it's becoming a recurring theme, and it's becoming a recurring theme for a reason. We're talking about body image, and both of these ladies had a tremendous amount of insight, very interesting, different backgrounds, and how they ended up with completely, in my view, different backgrounds, but both of them ended up dealing with body image issues, how they view their body, how they accept their body or don't accept their body, and how, fast forward to today, they are accepting their body and having a positive body image and wanting to get that across to, you know, younger women. But really, it goes for all of us. I'm certainly somebody that is, I don't want to say struggling. I am still dealing with, let's just say, conquering my own body image issues. And it is something that I know causes an undue amount of stress, and stress affects our life and our health and our wellness and our goals results in the gym. So all of this is tied together. Everything is connected, and we need to understand the importance of that and not compartmentalize, because the more we can get away from that, compartmentalizing, you know, saying, well, fitness is just what I eat and what I do in the gym, and none of these other things like my sleep or my positive or negative body talk, none of that has an effect. It does. It all has an effect. And they also have an effect on things outside of the gym. So this was a really good conversation. And again, I think it's really cool that I got to talk to two women who have, again, completely different experiences and backgrounds. And I know you're going to learn a lot from these ladies. You're going to want to certainly tune in if you haven't already, both to their website and their podcast. But for now, sit back and enjoy this first session, my interview with Jennifer Walters and Kristen Seymour of Fit Bottom Girls. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am joined by Jennifer and Kristen of Fit Bottomed Girls, one of the most amazing sites on the planet. I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm being sincere. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. And I just want to say for reference, I mentioned this a little bit in your intro, but for everybody listening, it's so cool to have people on the show that I either met via social media in, I'm using air quotes over here, in the early days of like the early days of Twitter, way back in 2008, 2009, or some of the folks from a Fitfluential perspective that were some of our very first bloggers or influencers or mini networks that joined us. And certainly Fit Bottom Girls is one of the legends in the space. And so I'm thrilled to have y'all on here, and I'm excited to chat. Whenever I bring guests on for the first time, they know the drill. I like our audience to get to know you, and certainly they're going to go to your site and fall in love and become addicted to your content and your podcast, which is amazing. And I have so many things I'm going to follow up with you on, because your site just looks beautiful and you've got just addicting content. Everyone's going to fall in love with it. But when you're first on the show, I always like to ask my guests, what was it for you as far as getting into leading a fitness lifestyle, if you will, or becoming interested in fitness or being healthy? When was that for both of you, and why? What was the impetus for you starting to pursue that in your life?
So for me, and this is Jen speaking, and thank you for all those kind words. Oh my gosh, we are truth. Like, I just feel like we're like a million years old for like internet years. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah. They're
like
dinosaurs.
They're dog years, you know, like we are.
We used Foursquare back in the day.
We are seasoned, you know, like for sure. But thank you. For me, you know, and everything, my entire health and fitness journey is in a lot of ways, like the heart and the soul and the mission of Fit Bottom Girls in a lot of ways. I got into teaching group exercise and doing personal training when I was actually in college, which was back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I had been someone before when I was a teenager who kind of liked to be fit, but always wanted to lose a little bit of weight, always wanted to lose like 5 or 10 pounds. Kind of thought like, oh, if I could do that, then I would be, you know, I would be pretty perfect. You know, mm-hmm. I would have it together. I would get the guy, I would, you know, get all the things they sell in magazines. My life would be, now we would say it would be like Pinterest perfect.
That's funny.
Right? And I think a lot of people still kind of like get wrapped into that and feel that. But I felt that way. I started teaching group exercise and doing personal training. And then I really just put an incredible amount of pressure on myself because I thought that in order for me to give health advice, I had to look a certain way. Mm. And through that, I really began, I mean, pretty disordered eating in a disordered situation where I started over-exercising, under-eating, over-restricting my food, and then binge eating. And just this negative cycle over and over and over again. And that took me up into a point. I went on about like that for a few years. and then when my now husband, then boyfriend, proposed to me, we were going through wedding planning stuff. And I just got to the point where really my calorie counting and my obsession with the number on the scale was really impacting my life and my happiness.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm going to walk down the aisle and the only thing that I'm going to be able to think about is if my arms look fat or, I'm not going to be in the moment at all. Mm. I'm going to really be wondering like if, you know, if I'm going to fit my dress and all these other things that have nothing to do with how I actually want to spend, you know, the day I get married. And so at that point, I went to go see a registered dietitian who specialized in emotional eating and intuitive eating. Well, she helped me with a lot of things, but the number one thing that she said to me in the moment that really struck a chord with me and was my true aha moment, kind of wake up. She was like, can you imagine what the women of this world could do if they stopped being so obsessed or so worried about the number on the scale?
Amen to that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, here I am. You know, I'm educated. I have all these things going for me and I'm miserable. For what reason? I could be using my time so much better than even counting calories and just being unhappy because it was a truly like obsessive thought pattern thing. So I worked with her for a long time. Got through that. Got married in 2007. Wasn't worried about what I looked like when I walked down the aisle. Kind of healed through all of that and then looked around the space of magazines and thought to myself, again, in 2008 when Fit Bottom Girl started, was like, what the hell? No wonder. Like, look at all the media that I've been looking at, all the fitness stuff, all of it says you'll be a better person if you lose X amount of weight. And
so true.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? We're going to start something that is going to put a different message out there and we're going to be funny and we're going to be real. And we're going to let women know they're more than the number on the scale. And we're going to tackle this body image stuff and share real life experiences. And it kind of took off.
I am just like non-verbally giving you a preach it girl, amen thing over here. I'm going to let Kristen tell her story and then we're going to dive in because so much of what we're going to talk about today, which is very needed, is body image. And you brought up so much of it in that story. I hate to say I love it, but you know what I mean when I say I love it. I love it because we can talk about it and help a lot of people because I certainly deal and have dealt with a lot of what you said. Kristen, what was your story?
You know, I was always an athlete. I was a dancer when I was really young and into tumbling, and then I moved on to basketball and volleyball and softball. And, you know, for a long time, when I was really young, I don't think I worried too much other than the fact that I was always really muscular, considerably more so than my other little friends. And that was always hard for me just because I looked different. And, you know, when you're certain ages, like being different is just the only thing in the world that you want to avoid. Like, it's just, it was awful, which is ridiculous because I look back now and I, you know, see pictures of me and think, oh my gosh, you know, that's great. I look so strong. I look so healthy. And, you know, even in high school, I wasn't overly focused, I don't think, on how I looked, but I wasn't comfortable in my skin. But I was playing a lot of sports and quite competitively. So there was this really nice balance of like, okay, so I'm not completely comfortable, but when I get out here in my uniform and I'm able to jump higher or, you know, run faster, that gave me a place to be. When I got into college, I was still playing some club sports and intramurals, but it wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the same level of competition. And I started seeing a lot more variety in body types and in how people handled the different body types. And like a lot of young women, I was very concerned about the freshman 15. I was like, oh gosh, if I gain, and I'm 5'8". So honestly, 15 pounds doesn't show enormously on me. But I was so stressed out about it. And so that started a few cycles that were not particularly healthy. I don't even know the year, but it was really when I started running, not for weight loss and, you know, not for, you know, not for a sport or not on a team, but because I wanted an outlet that let me feel strong and let me feel fit and gave me something to work toward, that things started changing a bit. I got into triathlon, and that was a whole other level of, you know, learning to push myself, learning to really appreciate what my body could do. And then becoming a part of Fit Bottom Girls, because I was not one of the founders, but I came in a few years later. You know, that was right when I was having some of my aha moments where I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I am still more muscular than a lot of the women I know. I'm not somebody who you look at and think like, oh gosh, she's so thin. But damn it, I looked good. And more importantly, I felt good. I was running, I was doing these races, I was pushing myself beyond limits that I had unknowingly set. And it was awesome. I guess basically the answer is I was just kind of always an athlete. And then I got into coaching youth basketball and volleyball and realizing I was telling these young women to, you know, really embrace who they were and appreciate all the cool things their bodies were able to do. And I wasn't always internalizing that message, which felt really disingenuous. So turned that around, and now I'm really happy to be much more comfortable in my skin, even as I'm staring down 40.
This is so what we need to talk about, but I can relate with so many of the things that you said. And, you know, we did want to talk about body image today. In fact, it's really becoming both body image and I love the way you said it, Jennifer. You said disordered eating. And I've interviewed a few guests last week, actually, that had some... I don't know if I should say it's an official eating disorder and then there's disordered eating. I feel that I deal with, I'm trying to get better about my disordered eating thoughts or my attitudes, and it's a work in progress. But certainly body image for women is something that I'm realizing is so much more of a widespread problem than I probably thought. I think so many women, we probably think that we're alone in our disordered eating and then the way that we view our body. And it's not, because I heard it in both of your stories. And my first question as we dive into this is, do you think that having issues with how we see ourselves, how women or young women, how we see ourselves in our bodies, do you think that it starts at a young age for most of us, regardless of whether you're an athlete, whether you're active, whether you're pursuing fitness, whether you're heavy or skinny? Do you think it's more universal? I certainly know, and we can address that when you start down a fitness path, there's that gray area where you can go from a healthy obsession to an unhealthy obsession, whether it's over-exercising, disordered eating, or a combination of both. But do you think pretty much this can start when you're young, whether or not you're focused on dieting or athlete, you know, becoming an athlete, or, you know, if you're involved in sports? What do you think about that?
I think that it is, and I think a lot of the research on it like shows it, that for young girls, it is whether they are, or we are, I mean, we're all young girls at some point, aware of it or not, it is pervasive. It is prevalent. It is in many ways inescapable, because it's our culture. I mean, I've written a little bit about this on our site, Fit Bottom Zen, but like, I truly believe that dieting and some of this body image stuff is a feminist issue, because in so many ways we grow up in a culture with all the messages that are, you are only of value if you are attractive. Mm. And there's media message, there's like all the advertisements. And the problem is that this is generation upon generation upon generation of all this going on. So if your mom wasn't like hyper, like aware of this stuff when she was raising you, or if you're raising your kids and you're not hyper aware of it, like there's so much coming in kind of unconsciously, but there's also so much parenting involved and modeling. And not just what you tell your parents, but what you're actually, what you tell your kids, but actually what you're showing your kids. It's like, I have a 3-year-old daughter. If I say, hey, you know, Gwen, you are, you know, you're beautiful and wonderful as you are, you're smart, you're kind, you're awesome. But then she sees me step on the scale and like curse, or so sees me talk about like, oh no, I can't have that. I'm not going to have that. Or I, you know, I feel fat today or whatever. I mean, she replicates everything that I do. Mm. So she's going to look up and be like, oh, that's what it is to be a woman. That's what it is to be an adult. And I think in a lot of ways, like we as women have also, I mean, how many times have you sat down with friends and just like bitched about yourself? Like almost as like a bonding thing. Like, oh, it's like this like weird, like reverse compliment, you know, like, oh, I hate my thighs, but man, I wish I had your butt. Or I hate this about me. And weird, this like bonding, like fat
talk. It's so true.
Stuff. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, we have a responsibility to pay attention to how we're raising our kids. We have a responsibility to pay attention what we're reading, what products we're buying, how they're adding to the huge cultural message. We have to do the inner work to start talking to ourselves and pay attention to our thoughts to be like, what am I saying to myself every day? Is that good for me? You know, there's also nutrition of what we eat, but there's so much health and wellness into the thoughts that we think. What are we feeding ourselves emotionally day after day after day? I mean, I think that's really where a shift has to happen. But yeah, I'm like bad news bears today. I'm like, we're all fucked.
But you know what? And I'm sorry, I'm going to let you go, Kristen. But as you said that about the whole like girls getting together for lunch, I was imagining on the contrary, like I would love to see if there was ever an opportunity where like a bunch of guys get together for lunch, mm-hmm. and do they sit down and go, hey, Fred, how are you doing? And Fred's like, oh my God, I'm so bloated today. My thighs, like these jeans are so tight. And then somebody else goes like Roger at the same lunch, leans over and goes, oh my God, I know you wouldn't believe last night I had 4 extra buffalo wings. 4. And everyone else goes, oh my God, did you get the full fat dressing on the side? And men never, like they don't talk about that. And our lunches and our dinners and our chats are always like that. And we don't realize how absurd and obsessive it is. So calling this like to our attention and making this a conversation, yeah, it needs to happen because you're so right.
Yeah, that's the truth. And the thing is like, we do have that power. You know, listen, like, look at the three of us. You know, we are, you know, strong women. We get to walk into different situations, whether they be virtual or, you know, in person, having literal lunch with our girlfriends. And when that talk begins,
so true.
You guys, say something. You don't have, and I don't mean like put somebody down and say, oh, stop saying that. That's terrible. But you know what? Like be the voice that you would like to hear and talk to them. And you know, when your friend says, oh, you know, I'm really upset about my thighs. They're, you know, I'm having some rubbing issues and I'm not fitting in my jeans the way I normally do. For one thing, like make sure she's well aware of the other intrinsic value she has as your friend and as a wonderful person. And, you know, and then sure, like it's okay to not be happy if you can't button your pants. Like that's okay, but it doesn't change your value as a person.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best
trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our FitFluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I think it's important to remember that, you know, it starts with self-talk. If we can start that within ourselves. But I don't think it's reasonable to expect that everybody out there is going to be on the same page as us. Mm-hmm. So let's take that inner self-talk that we are, inner self-talk, that's sort of, take that self-talk, that positive self-talk that we are working on with ourselves, share that with other people. And so then the next lunch that, you know, maybe used to be talking about, you know, oh, well, my arms are getting flappy. I guess it's just age. Next time you're talking about the PR that you just got at the gym, or the race that you just signed up for, or the fact that you're going bathing suit shopping and you are so psyched to do it. Does anybody want to join me? Because it's going to be fun.
You know,
it doesn't have to be bonding over negativity. We can bond over positivity and compliments just as well.
You know, I've always said what you look for, you will find. But for everybody listening, if you start to look for strong women that are confident in their own body and you know, loud and proud about it, you'll find it. And I think about, for me, there are certain people that I follow. Kristen, I think you said it, or maybe you both said it. Essentially, it starts with me, right? It starts with the way I treat myself and the way I'm going to talk. But know that you are also setting an example if you are a parent for your kids. If you're like me, if you're an aunt or you have, you know, all of us in our work, we have people that look up to us that we don't even think we're making an influence on. And we do. So you're starting with yourself because you need to treat yourself better. But by doing so, you are setting an example. And this is what we need to do, because it starts with us, and we can make an impact on so many more people than we realize. And when I think back to what you said, you know, Jennifer, about media messaging, and there's so many mixed messages out there that are being seen and consumed by young girls. And of course it happens on the male side too, but by young girls, and we're not going to change those images and that industry, television, gossip magazines, celebrity magazines, movies, whatever, that's not going to change overnight. There still are going to be those unrealistic expectations. The fashion industry, we could go on and on and on, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for us, if like you both said, if we can start talking to ourselves differently, it will be picked up by people around us. In the beginning, you're going to get those funny looks and like, well, what's going on? But it can remarkably change everything about your whole life when you start to see yourself differently. When was that with both of you? I mean, you both have a history of where you had disordered eating, you had over-exercising. And Jennifer, you mentioned a little bit, for you, it was, you know, your wedding was an aha moment. What were some of the things for both of you when you had your ahas, like, I can't talk to myself this way. I can't treat myself this way. I'm not helping me get anywhere. And certainly I'm not being a good example. What were some of the things you started to change that helped you? So for folks listening, this is just like our starter show on this. And I'd love to have you guys back on so we can continue this, because it's not just a one show episode. I really think we can talk a lot about this. But what were some of the things that you started to do, practices in your lives, your respective lives, that helped you treat yourself differently, view yourself differently? Because it's not a quick fix. It can't happen overnight, usually, for most of us.
Yeah, it's definitely not a quick fix. And I mean, kind of into that point, I'd like to also emphasize, I think Kristen also, she touched on this a little bit, but we're not delusional and thinking like, oh, you can just walk around and be like positive Pollyanna all the time and just like constantly love yourself. Like, that's also not real life. But I think that there is the opportunity in the space to almost, with some of your friends, if it feels too weird to be like, oh, let's not talk bad about ourselves anymore. Why not just be like vulnerable and be like, you know what? Like, I really don't feel very great about my body, and I'd kind of like to get a handle on this. Would you want to maybe try to do some stuff together? Like, maybe we can talk about it and see how we can start kind of shifting some of this. and see where it goes. Because for me, it's really been a gradual building upon process. So I kind of had my big aha before I got married. I had my another aha with the registered dietitian who was like, stop being such a dick, get more involved, be less self-absorbed, basically. This is how I took it in a really positive way, funny enough. Then, you know, from there, it was me just practicing that. It was me. I dieted so much. I was completely out of touch of my hunger and fullness cues. So that for me was basically an everyday mindful eating. My only goal was to figure out how much food in my stomach, what it felt like to be full and to be energized, and what foods did that and what amounts of foods did that, and to honor and trust that. And then when I was hungry and when I was full. So once then that, I mean, I was, yeah, my cues were so messed up. That probably took me at least almost close to a year, and is still something that I like go back to every now and again, where it's like, okay, mindful eating, like eat until I'm a 6 or 7 on a scale of a 10, you know, eat until that's how full I am, and, you know, be hungry at like a, you know, 3 or 4. Fine tune that, really pay attention. I also got rid of my scale. Like I hit it, cause I was I used to weigh myself like, you know, at least once a day, if not 2, 3, or 4 times a day. So I got rid of that cause there was no way I could step on it and not have an emotional reaction, positive or negative, but both of them were BS, you know, both of them had nothing to do with who I was. And I was putting all of my power for the entire day on a number, got rid of it, done. Those two were huge. And then, you know, meditation, and honestly, like a lot of the stuff that some people, that's difficult to do, like going into, why I want to be healthy, really why I want to be healthy. What reason am I doing, getting to the true reason of why I am dieting, why I am putting so much of my thought and process into something that, you know, is basically just hating myself. Like what role is that serving? And then how do I want to feel? And then really just using everything that I do, from, I still do this now, from workouts to food, I just want to feel good. So how does stuff make me feel? Like no bad or good labels, just does it make me feel good? Okay, do more of that. If it doesn't make me feel good, we'll go back and tweak. And so instead of seeing my life is on this healthy eating plan or off of it, it's truly just this kind of like a curious experiment where I'm just open and flowing. And that allows me to continue to, you know, change and evolve. And it is not rigid. And it very much adapts to what my life is going through, whether I'm, you know, like raising a newborn or starting a new project and there's higher levels of stress, or I want to dial things in and really kick it, you know, kill it at the gym. I can do that too.
Yeah. That curiosity that you mentioned, Jen, is so important with all of this, because I mean, think about how you're approaching all of, you know, all of your health journey. Like if you're approaching it with judgment, then it's going to be harsh. If you approach things with curiosity and some openness and willingness to see what's there, then that's a whole different experience. And it makes it a whole lot easier to change, because you're not, you know, coming in as like, ooh, I'm doing things so wrong, I'm so bad. You're just like, okay, that was an interesting choice to polish off that bag of chips. I wonder what's going on. I didn't really have the same kind of like light bulb over the head ahas that Jen did. It's been a much more, I don't know, subtle process. But I would say the two things that stand out for me are, you know, I mentioned before, like coaching young women in volleyball and seeing that disconnect between what I was encouraging them to do and believed with my whole heart, and then going home and, you know, angrily eating raw broccoli because that was all I felt like I deserved for dinner. Like,
so true.
Right. And I like broccoli. Why would I eat it angrily? You know, that's so dumb.
Broccoli didn't do anything to you.
It didn't. The broccoli was perfectly nice. And then the other thing, which is super weird, is I developed TMJ, where I was having just really significant pain in my jaw, and was having trouble like basically opening my mouth or chewing anything. And this was occurring around the same time that I was training for essentially a half Ironman triathlon, which is like a lot of training. And I had, for the first time in my life, I was actually having to work to make sure I was getting enough calories to sustain my activity. And it gave me this very different feeling of like, oh, okay, so what do I get to eat instead of what should I cut out? And oh my gosh, you guys, that shift was so big. And it was because all I could have was liquids at the time. So I mean, you want a smoothie recipe? I am your girl. I have a huge variety. I can make a ton of really great ones. But it was such an interesting way to suddenly see food. And I just naturally started paying closer attention to the hunger and fullness cues because, when you're spending that many hours training, by the time you're hungry, you're playing catch up. So, by the time you're really hungry. So I was really paying close attention and that really helped. But it's just been a continual, I won't say struggle because it's not a struggle. It's an interesting journey that I continue on. And there are times when it goes really well and it's easy. And then there are times when it's really not easy. But it's worth the work and I'm worth the work.
Amen to that. And, I'm glad that you brought up what you just did at the end, because for everybody listening, I'm always thinking that there's folks listening who are just starting down a fitness journey or just figuring out they have issues. But then there's folks that, like a lot of us, we've been playing the fitness game for a while. And sometimes you think when you've fallen off the wagon, you've been, dealing with an injury or you just kind of got away from your practice, then you gained weight, you're getting back into it. And you think that you're all alone. But the truth is that we all go through peaks and valleys. And that includes, your healthy lifestyle. And sometimes, like you said, I mean, there's times where I go through, I just call it like a meltdown period where, it just happened 2 weeks ago. I was getting ready to go to San Antonio to see my man for the weekend. And I told him about this. I was trying to rush around, get my overnight bag packed and pick out an outfit. And ladies, we all know what this is like. You put everything on and, probably because you're rushing, it's not helping, but you just feel gross in everything. And that can just destroy your mindset. And I started overreacting and automatically thinking I looked, and the way I was talking to myself, I'm embarrassed. Like I would never, back to what you said, Kristen, you were talking about the athletes and how you would encourage them and how you would talk to them. And we would never, ever, ever talk to, whether it's athletes or a friend who we wanted to encourage, we would never say the things to somebody else or to a family member that we will say to ourselves, like I was saying to myself in my closet, and I'm crying and I'm like, this is disgusting. No matter what I do, I can't. And I told him, I almost called and said, I'm not going down for the whole weekend because of that. That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
So that it breaks my heart.
the thing, back to what you said, is the thing that's helped me a lot, and I wrote down again copious notes on everything both of you said. The thing that's helped me a lot is, frankly, talking about it on the show, on my social platforms. And that was one of the things for me that helped me view myself differently. One of the first things, and I'm curious about you, Jennifer, you talked about not weighing yourself. And I think the scale can be the devil. And I used to weigh myself all the time. And I've always had it in my head. I'm 5'5". I had it in my head that I think I should weigh 113 pounds. I don't know where that came from, but maybe it's something I read in People magazine in like 1992 about some anorexic, celebrity that I was like, that's what I need to do. And I've always been aiming for 113 when I was younger. And it finally took being with a trainer who's like, that's way too light for you. And then I said, okay, 125. He said, that's too light. And I always had to think, and I never wanted to share publicly what I weighed. Do you guys find that women, we put such a label on what we weigh, like what our driver's license says we weigh? And for me, when I finally started sharing with people, like, hey, guess what? I'm 5'5", I'm around 150, I've got muscle, and I'm never going to be a size 0 or a 2. It took a lot for me to say that, but when I started sharing that, it became easier to not judge myself by my size or the fact that I'm curvy or the fact that I don't weigh 113. Do you think that there still is this stigma, this fear of what size you are and what weight you are that women are still dealing with? Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And it's funny that you said that you had a number, because I think I got mine from like shape when I was a kid, that like I looked and I'm like, oh, well, if you're 5'7", your ideal weight is 135. And that was always the number. Like,
Yeah.
What the heck? Like, it was a graph on one page in a magazine, and that was the number that I fixated on. You know? And I think, like, oh my gosh, yeah. What has been interesting for me is that I probably weigh myself, yeah, maybe like at the most once a week, a couple times a month. So when I had, it's so funny, like I was training pretty hard and I had a lot of muscle. I got pregnant and then naturally, I wasn't like beasting out in the gym as much. And then I was off from maternity leave. And then with breastfeeding, I got down to some of my like lowest weight that I've ever been. I was down to like 132 or something. It was crazy. But I had no muscle. I had virtually no muscle. And so I could still put on like my pre-maternity clothes. But then I got back in the gym because I was like, hello, I need to like get this back. This is weird. Got all my muscle back and everything, gained at least 10, 12 pounds and still fit in the same clothes as I did before when I was 132. I just had muscle, you know? So for me, it's just, that's always a good example for me to go back to, just be like, yo, that whole muscle looks different than fat thing is so true. But really sitting around thinking about it, like what I want to make sure that I just want to be able to do the things that I want to do. And I really just want to fit in my clothes. So it doesn't really matter what that number says, as long as the rest of that feels really, as long as I feel good, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm glad that you brought up. So, because the big thing that I'm focusing on with Fitfluential Radio and just Fitfluential and what we want to get out, our tagline, if you will, is Fitfluential is fitness found. And for me, what I want to drive home with that is find what works for you. And by what works for you, it's not like what diet works for you, but everybody, like Kristen weighs herself once a month. Jennifer, I'm pretty sure you said you don't weigh yourself. I don't weigh myself at all. There are some people that can have a healthy relationship with the scale where, you know, maybe they're a triathlete or a marathoner or a cyclist, whatever it is. And for them, they can have a healthy relationship and weigh themselves every day. There's no right or wrong answer. It's when you have unhealthy and it's destructive behavior with the scale or with any other things that we want to discourage. So find what works for you. The point is that it's adding to your life. It's enhancing your life, not driving you crazy. And I want to wrap up with this and then I'll follow up with both of you. Cause I think we've just started this conversation, but what I hear from both of you in your stories, and it reminds me of, I'm actually interviewing Marissa, who works for Fitfluential. And it's also something I found in my own life that relates to body image and, you know, kind of going from being so obsessive and restrictive and treating yourself horribly. There's a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety that we create when we're living our lives that way. And when you kind of get to the point where you can relax and decide that you're going to treat yourself differently, it's really incredible how much less stress and anxiety you will be under, and how that alone, just making that decision, I'm going to chill out. I'm not going to weigh myself. I'm not going to worry about trying to get to a size, whatever it is, by whatever date it is, by bikini season, by spring break, whatever. I'm going to relax and respect myself. When you start to stop the obsessive thought processes, stop the negative self-talk, and yeah, it's a process, it changes everything. And I have had probably 6 guests that I've interviewed in the past month who have said, I was obsessing, I was freaking out, I was weighing myself all the time, and finally I gave up because I was actually gaining weight, I had headaches all the time, they had all of these side effects. And when they stopped, and they, in many ways, some of them were like, I'm done. You know, part of it was maybe throwing in the towel, but when they stopped the obsessive thought patterns, I've heard each one of them in their own way say, it's amazing. It's like my body relaxed and thanked me because I started losing weight without thinking about it. I'm happier. I'm sleeping better. As we close, I'd like to ask both of you, have you found too that was a big part of the equation of having this work in your life, that you were causing yourself so much stress and anxiety and just getting rid of that by treating yourself better and not obsessing? Did it decrease significantly the amount of stress and anxiety you were carrying?
It did for me, like so much, in ways I didn't fully understand. And now, I mean, I think I just really realized this in the last few years. I can now look back at that time, and I encourage other people to try to do this when they're going through it. And I actually have gratitude for all of those struggles, because it was literally like, that's how my soul was kind of crying out to be loved and to be treated differently. And that was my struggle that took me to kind of wake up and listen and slow down and love myself. That's how it manifested for me. It manifests, I think, for people in all kinds of different ways. But for me, that's what it was. And for me, not at the time, it sucked. But looking back, I can see beauty in that struggle.
Amen to that.
I agree. And I think that I'm in a similar boat to Jen, where I can look back and have some gratitude for the fact that I went through it, partly because it brought me to where I am now, and also because it gives me that perspective when I'm talking to other people who are like in the shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I say I've been there, I have been, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's helpful to still be able to see things through, you know, through other people's eyes when it's you're trying to help them through it.
I remember when I was going through my divorce, and people would say that to me, and I'm like, thanks so much for telling me that. Like, can you give me some cookies now? So that would make me feel better. But they go, oh, you know, you're going to be able to help so many other women when they go through divorce because of what you're going through. And I'm like, shut up and give me more tissues and some donuts maybe, you know, but it really is true, because, you know, I actually have a friend who's going through a divorce right now. And I remember texting her in the beginning, and I'm like, look, I know what you're going through. You feel like you're crazy. You feel like nobody wants to listen to you. You probably have people that are avoiding you. If you need to talk, I'm here. Because, and I remember she said, she's like, you check in with me, you're there. And I'm like, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. You cry every day. You just want somebody to dump everything that's going on in your crazy world. So yeah, when you've been through all of these struggles, and Jennifer, you put it so well. I say the same thing about everything. The fact that I can keep it real and share with other people, like, here's what I went through. I'm just keeping it real. And I know that so many women have heard me talking about stuff like that, and they write and they go, oh my God, I thought I was so alone. And I think as we wrap up today, I want you both to tell our audience, you know, where they can find you online. But really, for everybody listening, one of the things, as I was taking notes from these ladies, is it will really help you if you're struggling with a lot of these issues with body image, with potential eating disorders or disordered eating or over-exercising, any of this stuff. For me, one of the biggest steps was just, don't go it alone. Don't hide. Don't cover yourself in shame. You know, reach out to somebody, even if it's just someone online, if it's reaching out to Fit Bottom Girls on their website or Fitfluential or me or somebody or a friend on social media. For me, I think social media can be a wonderful way to connect with somebody to help you when you're dealing with stuff like this. Yeah, it has its, you know, bad sides, but that to me is what can be really good when you know that you're not alone in these struggles. Because that's, to me, the key is of getting better. It's the key to getting fit. It's the key to addressing a lot of issues. So I do encourage you, you know, to reach out and not go it alone, but we will be touching more on this subject going forward. Ladies, can you tell everybody who's listening, and of course, we'll link this up in the show notes, where can they find you online?
Yeah, we would love to connect with everybody online. We are at fitbottomedgirls.com, and we have the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. And if you go to, which you can get anywhere you get your podcast, and if you do go to our website and you sign up for our email list, you will automatically be enrolled. And we have a free 5-day email course called the Fit Bottomed Reset. And it really helps you to kind of like go through day by day and kind of help to shift your thinking. Because I always say you can't hate yourself healthy. So it kind of helps you to give you some real tools on how to shift that perspective.
Yep. And you can also find us on basically every social media platform you can imagine. Twitter, Pinterest, well, let's see, Twitter and Instagram were Fit Bottomed Girl, Pinterest, Fit Bottomed Girls, Facebook, Fit Bottomed Girls. I mean, that's us. We're everywhere.
What about MySpace? I'm just teasing.
I can't remember that part.
I put a post up on Facebook last week, and I was just asking people, like, what are the old school social media things you remember? And some of the things that people put up, like Meerkat and Periscope and Vine and, you know, Foursquare in the early days. But, you know, so many people were, I know a lot of people that actually met on MySpace. So, yeah. You know, but it's funny how much has changed. But anyway, I digress. Everybody, we will link up to everything, all of their sites and their social platforms in the show notes at Fitfluential Radio. Of course, fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions on this topic for us to cover when we have Jennifer and Kristen back on the show, you can email us to podcast@fitfluential.com. And of course, that can be used as well for any questions in general on the podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We look forward to chatting with you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.